Hello again. We're here talking entrepreneurship, and that means we are on Radio Entrepreneurs. And again, my name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm here with Peter Meyerson, my co-host from the law firm of Cohn, Rasnick, Meyerson, and Plout.
Jeff, always great to be here, and we're going to have a great show today.
Great. Author, correct?
Author. Of course.
Great. What's the name of the book again?
I forget.
Oh, please. I was trying to help you. Forget it. I'm on to the next
guy. Heroes in a different time.
Okay. All right. Our next guest, I almost feel like he's sort of the godfather of radio entrepreneurs. He's been here since almost day one. Our guest, in our early studio days, Jim Farrell from PR First. Welcome, Jim.
Oh, thank you, Jeff, and glad to be back. And hi, Peter. Glad to be here with you, too.
Good.
And we go back to Needham.
When we were at the Money Matters Radio Network.
Yep.
Right. We started as a daily, as a weekly show, and then we went to a daily, and then we went to an internet show.
Well, you've been very kind to a number of our clients over the years. A number of them have been on and have all really enjoyed the experience.
And they have evolved and bypassed our show.
Well, they're coming back when you want them.
No, we're always friends of Jim Farrell. But Jim, I guess you have some interesting topic you want to bring up today.
Well, when you put it that way, I had just said. Whatever you think as far as the general direction of PR, anything regarding businesses in general, we're happy to talk about whatever you would like.
Then I'll start with what I like.
Okay.
That whole thing with the presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you my little thesis first.
Sure.
He spent $100 million approximately. Hillary spent $200 million on advertising. And he kept saying, I'm not spending the money. But I've always believed that public relations was much more powerful than advertising, because advertising is not credible. He was on the air 24/7. 24/7 through his tweets, through his comments. He was on every news show every day with his rants, with his comments. He controlled the media. And if you looked at the total media, and the other rule we always learned in media in the early days was there's no such thing as bad press.
Hmm.
And has he not proven those two points? Number one, it's the PR was more powerful than advertising. And number two, I guess bad press is good press. It got him in the presidency.
Most of the time. I mean, there are probably a couple of notable exceptions. You go back to O.J. Simpson and some of those, they might argue that there is bad press. But for President-elect Trump, he seems to have climbed that wall that no one thought he'd ever get over. And in the initial phases, I think it was partly the attraction of here's somebody new, somebody different, somebody that's never held office before, somebody who is great at capturing the news cycle. Why wouldn't we give him this free coverage, or as we like to call it in PR,
earned coverage.
Yeah,
and it got CNN more listeners.
It probably did, and his comments about the network notwithstanding, that probably further helped to attract some listeners to them. But when people who will wonder, well, how is it that I can get this so-called free media? How is it that I bypass advertising? And we always tell people that both of them are useful. So I know what you're saying. I am certainly a proponent that PR is a stronger means of communicating a message than advertising, although they're both important.
I'll always take one article over 10 ads.
Right, and we tell people that the subliminal difference for someone listening or watching is that when it's an advertisement, and they can be very powerful also, when it's an advertisement, you know where it came from, and you know that the person who is in there, you know that they paid for that message so that they control it. The underlying theory is that earned media coverage is different because it carries some sort of third-party validation or credibility. And in the case of Donald Trump, it was, as you said, he was on the air all the time. And I think he really has, from his days in reality TV, he's been a master at using the media the way that, in this case, benefited him. But it enabled him to get his message out.
He was a shock jock running for president.
In a way, he was. but he also, not only the networks, he used the social media channels because...
Still is.
And that he was able to bypass any of the critical media outlets in terms of how they reported on what he said or didn't say. And he was able to get the message out directly. I think this campaign has certainly redefined the way future campaigns will be held.
I can't wait for the dozens of books.
The books and
although, yeah, but you know, it was interesting. Mark Cuban had an interesting take on it.
Well, he's a Trump hater.
And he's a Trump hater, and he said the more I talked about him, the more people went to vote for him. He said we did exactly what he wanted, which
into everyone's hands and played into people's anger with the system.
That's exactly what Cuban's view was, and I think there's a lot of truth to that. And I think, you know, we sit in the Northeast, and you know, we are the elite, and it's hard to understand people's angers and frustrations, but clearly Trump, with his PR program, mm-hmm. really tapped into that in a different kind of way.
Well, and regardless of how anyone voted, or who you were for or who you were against, one of the...
We'd have to shoot you if you see.
My lips are sealed. I wrote Jeff Davison, but don't tell anyone. But how people view the role of the media is certainly going to change an awful lot. It's almost as if... In this campaign, it was not only one candidate against another; it was one candidate against everybody on the other side, plus a number of outlets. And it's an awfully high hill to climb, and it really is.
Knocked off 16 Republican candidates,
right?
High-profile Republican candidates.
And when you look just at the sheer volume of advertising that was spent all around, I mean, it does lead you to a couple of conclusions. And one is that the person with the most dollars doesn't always win. Message counts, and it's not only does the message count, it's how do people react to it?
He had a consistent strategy. People kept asking when he was going to change his strategy. And he never changed his strategy. He stayed consistent with his message from day one.
And continues even now.
Yeah. And I think he's, you know, and people kept, you know, waiting for him to change, but I think he understood the medium better than others did. Or someone advising him, Roger Ailes, his son-in-law Kushner, someone understood the medium better than others.
One of the things I think that helped him, in addition to what you said, is when you get when one gets an opportunity for this earned or free media, it's what do you do with it? And he was always someone who was willing, maybe sometimes to his own detriment, to answer questions, to take interviews, to say what he really thought. And I think this may have been a time when let me be blunt, let me just roll out what I think now, seemed to be more popular than the more measured and the more scripted responses. It's an interesting switch, what's happened. Very, very interesting campaign in the way everything came together.
You know, again, it's all... what is it? Monday morning quarterbacking.
Right. Yeah.
For me, it wasn't. I found the whole thing intriguing. The only person who wanted to engage me in conversations about this prior to the election was Peter Meyerson. in terms of what was really going on.
And you're both still friends, right?
No, not in terms of who should win, but in terms of what was going on, the process of what was going on. And I just thought that, people underestimate Roger Ailes. I mean, Roger Ailes turned Richard Nixon's career around, you know, worked for Ronald Reagan, worked for the Bush the first, worked for Bush the second, now worked for Trump. He clearly is the mastermind. They call him the Black Knight of political advertising, a mastermind of really how to understand what's going on in the world today and how to use the medium to our advantage. And he's done it multiple times.
Yeah, and go ahead. No, after you.
No, there were so many interesting aspects to this, you know, the polling discrepancies, and it just all fed into this support that Trump was able to garner through his PR campaign. I mean, it was really fascinating to me.
And the other part of it is when you look at the two people who competed, they couldn't have been more polar opposite in the way that they approached the media. Secretary Clinton was one who liked to stand back from it, not really engage. And probably some of the smarter thinking on their side was, don't put yourself out there where you're going to be put in a position where you say something that the media is going to report on and make you look bad. But in a lot of ways, it seemed like what people were looking for is someone who is willing to answer questions and is not really overly concerned about what people say afterwards. And that's regardless of how you feel about the outcome. That's a very refreshing quality.
Well, yes, there was an honesty. People would say it's not honest. He wasn't honest, but there was a certain... He wasn't ready to fall into sort of a social norm for political candidates.
Mm-hmm.
His whole thing was not to fall into a social norm for political candidates, and I think that was refreshing for, obviously, a lot of people.
One of the other takeaways that I've heard since it is people talking in terms of the media's, the way they cover and the way they cover events, and that one of the criticisms leveled is that they spend a lot of time talking to each other and not a lot of time talking to voters. And so that may account for part of how they got wrong, what they got wrong in terms of the polling and the outcome.
He had everybody talking about him. There wasn't a comedy show every night
that
didn't do a skit opening up about Donald Trump. And then the morning news, 7 a.m., every network started off with, what did the comedian say last night about Donald Trump? I mean, it's simply,
all that did, I mean, this is really, you know, to Cuban's point, which is that simply validated for the vast... of a vast
group, 35 million unhappy people,
a lot of unhappy people that the media is not, you know, really being honest. And the fact that there were plenty of media reports on, you know, what Clinton did, and they got her wrong as well, you know, just shows that, you know, it was, you know, there was the way people saw things, you know, it was funneled through his lens. And
he controlled the media.
But the person who controls it is the one who often, not always, but often wins the day. And that's
been throughout time and history.
Yeah, and it really goes back to the basic lesson about PR, which is that I always tell people is that visibility rules. You know, you get your name out there again and again and again, hopefully in a good way, but you get it out there and you're the one that people think of, and you know, who knows?
And that's your job.
That's my job.
That's your job, getting the visibility.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody's building a business, writing a book, running a radio show, doing a software company, how do they contact you if they're trying to build visibility?
Well, our website is, I'll give you that first, that's PRFirst, PRFIRST.com. For me, it's Jim Farrell, it's J Farrell, J-F-A-R-R-E-L-L at PRFirst.com. And our office line is 781-681-6616. And we're always glad to talk to anyone who's concerned that they're not as well-known as they'd like to be.
Well, you know, I can say, and this has absolutely been my experience, that in 39 years in the field of marketing, working for one of the world's most famous marketing firms, started as an advertiser, you're the only PR advertising person I've ever met where every single client of yours that I've been introduced to thinks you're incredible.
That is very nice to hear. Thank you very much for that.
Well, and it's true. I mean, usually I think PR and advertising, there's a 2 to 3 year shelf life of satisfaction with clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not seen that yet. Either maybe you're killing them afterward and burying the bones, but
I'll never tell.
And I want to remind everybody, that was Jim Farrell. Thank you for being on the show. My co-host was Peter Meyerson.
Thank you very much.
We hope this is one of our better shows. All you have to do is mention Donald Trump. We should get some good SEO on that one.
I think so.
And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.